God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message comes from the second chapter of Daniel. And the title of this message is, God is All-Knowing. And in one essence, that phrase, all-knowing or omnipotent, as we sometimes say, should not necessarily surprise us. We truly do believe, teach, and confess that we have a God who does indeed know all things. But do we truly believe it? I know that may sound kind of strange, but think of it this way. How many times do we go through our life thinking, I can get away with this. No one's really watching, but God knows all things. How many times do we try to deceive ourselves and we try to bargain with God in one way or another? He knows what's in our hearts. Do we truly believe that God is all-knowing? I hope and pray we do. Because the fact of the matter is, God is all-knowing. Last week we picked up with Daniel chapter 1 as God is in control, including sending his own people into exile, as his people had to learn what it means to live in a pagan society, so do we. Today we pick up that concept of God being all-knowing, and what does this mean for us? But first, a little bit of a review. Daniel, as it sort of gets then connected here, now in one essence has a death threat placed upon him. He needs to come up with the interpretation, first of all, the dream and the interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know about you, how many of you have ever had a bad dream where, like Nebuchadnezzar, you couldn't sleep? It happens to most people. It happened to Nebuchadnezzar. As a result, he commanded all the magicians, all the sorcerers, all the diviners, all those extra people, so to speak, who are doing their share of dabbling, and saying, okay, here's the idea. You tell me my dream and its interpretation. You may live. If not, you're going to be torn apart limb for limb. Now, I will admit, we still live in a world that is sometimes even fascinated with dream interpretations. I'm even reminded during my own college studies, I had to read and study a little bit more on Sigmund Freud, who is noted to say, we don't know whether he actually did say it or not, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. We'll get a little bit more into that with the Bible study and more about the dream, but not for the sermon. But just to realize that we do have this little fascination with dreams. So when we dream dreams, do they always come true? Do they have some meaning to us? Or is the mind trying to tell us a message? Well, here we have a special dream. This is a dream that is actually given by God to King Nebuchadnezzar. And so he wants to know the meaning to it. And fair enough, if God's going to send me a message, I also want to know the meaning for that. Now, please notice that after he summons these quote-unquote diviners, magicians, sorcerers, and so forth down the line, their response to him was, King, live forever. They were trying to get him any word out of him about the dream. He wasn't budging. Okay, so we have the fate being torn from limb to limb. I will admit the diviners even came close. And this chapter could be considered one of those chapters where the people not connected to God come close, but no cigar. They just can't put the handle on it. The wise men somewhat come up with the idea, this is difficult, King. No one except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. You know, that's so close you can just taste it. If you do not have visions of the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God taking on flesh and dwelling among us, then let me put that image into your mind at this point. These wise men were so close, but they couldn't get it. It's difficult. Difficult, except if you happen to worship the God who would take on flesh and blood and dwell among us. Verse 12 realizes that all of them will be destroyed. Finally, the news comes to Daniel. Daniel then, notice what he does. He requests an appointment. He doesn't say, oh, let the king see me and I'll give him the answer to his problems. No, he requests an appointment. Daniel is not arrogant, but works with the system. We picked this up from last week. Believers living in a pagan society, we sometimes need to work with that system like Daniel. Daniel then does what after this appointment is made? Here's where the key really begins. He now gathers his friends, his companions, fellow believers, and they pray. After the prayer, we note that the wise men couldn't do this, but it was revealed to Daniel by God. Verse 28 reminds us that God who reveals the mysteries, and I love that word mysteries. Paul uses that word in the New Testament. Talks about his pastors as stewards of the mysteries of God. The mysteries, the forgiveness of sins, the love that is beyond all human understanding. Yeah, that's the mysteries. It's God who reveals the mysteries. Daniel now interprets the dream. The king is pleased. The king, again, close, but no cigar. He now wants to worship. He seems to recognize that the king, that the God of Daniel is the Lord of Lords. He comes to that point and then he screws it up. He starts worshiping Daniel. Again, close, but no cigar here. Daniel is promoted. That's it in a nutshell. In this account in Daniel chapter 2, one might be tempted to have a lot of fun with this dream and its interpretation. Fair enough. There's a lot going on, including a special prophecy concerning the Christ, the Messiah, and his coming and his kingdom. Amen. But that's not necessarily the main section of this chapter. No, chapter 2 is about really the prayer. I know you might be thinking, well, wait a minute, how can this be? Well, I will admit it may seem like on the surface it's the dream. But how is the dream given? King Nebuchadnezzar doesn't tell it to us. It's given to Daniel. It's interpretation given to Daniel. All because Daniel and his friends now gathered together, praised God in that prayer, and then God revealed this to Daniel. Daniel reveals it to the king. Daniel's prayer to God is often overshadowed by the dream. And I will admit, there are many in Christianity who get this chapter really mixed up. And they miss the beautiful gospel. More about that in our Bible study. But anyway, Daniel immediately seeks on the fellow believers. And this is important. Because not only are they in the same danger, but they say they share the same faith. In times of crisis, we need to also learn from Daniel that Daniel, even in the midst of exile, even in living in a society of pagans, being outnumbered, who can count, is still in a group of believers who are now coming together for a purpose, to share their concerns and to encourage one another, even in as they live in a society that would even be hostile to their faith. Daniel thus seeks the company of other faithful followers of God coming together for worship and prayer. And this is the reason why God placed them together. And by the way, this is nothing new. Even in Acts chapter 4, after we have somewhat the chastisement of the disciples, what do? They gather around the believers for encouragement and support. They come together. Daniel and his friends did that. And notice what they were seeking. Right before the prayer, verse 18, it names it mercy. Mercy. God's mercy. And it's a beautiful parallel even to our liturgy with the Kyrie. Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. In one essence, that's how we begin this service of the Word. With mercy. Daniel and his companions know that they can always rely upon God's mercy. They know they have no right to demand this of God, but God gives freely of himself, and they trust in the promises of God. Now, there is a little bit of a contrast that we need to compare here. The difference between Daniel's way of looking at things and understanding the gospel and getting it versus King Nebuchadnezzar, who comes close but then misses it. There's a reason why. King Nebuchadnezzar received a direct revelation of God in a dream, but was unable to make sense of it, since God did not reveal the meaning, but made it remain a mystery. Daniel also receives a revelation, but this time also from God with the mystery. King Nebuchadnezzar's response after this revelation, after this divine revelation, was that of anger and death threats. You better explain this to me, or I'm going to rip you from limb to limb. Pretty graphic. Daniel's response, even before the revelation was given, that of praise and blessings for God. Is there a difference? Yes. God is all-knowing and understands the difference even within the heart of individuals. King Nebuchadnezzar comes close. This must be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he's not there. He's offered his praises to Daniel, who is just a messenger. Yes, we do know that God is all-knowing, because now let's all put this together for us. See, in the midst of our own lives, there are going to be times in our lives where we also are in crisis. There's going to be times in our lives where we're going to need help. And God has the answer. He's the one who's all-knowing. He knows how we're made. He's the one who created us. He's the one who calls us and puts us into being. And he's the one who places us, just like Daniel and his companions, into communities. And as we live in the midst of this life, we now gather as fellow believers around God's word and his sacrament. We also trust in the promises of God, and God is faithful. And so in the midst of our own crisis, when someone seems to be threatening us with tearing us from limb to limb, or other pressures, or other strains, or other types of abuses, we need to do what Daniel and his companions did. Come together. Gather. And here is the gathering place around God's word and sacraments. In the midst of our crisis, we also have the command of God to call upon his name. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I will admit, I also use that phrase of the Kyrie in my own life. Whenever tensions get rough within me, I will say that. When they get really rough, I will actually say it in the Greek, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison. Mostly because most people won't know what I'm saying. But anyway, does it help? These are God's words. They're for me, they're for you. The answer is yes. Please notice what we are seeking, or who we are seeking, and why. In our prayers, we are seeking God and his grace and his mercy, not just for us, but also for other people. And in doing so, we're praising God throughout our prayers. Please notice that in Daniel's prayer, there's nothing in there about bettering his life. It is all has to do with thanksgiving to God. Reread that section when you get home about Daniel's prayer. It is a beautiful section of scripture talking about who God is, what God does, and how God is better than any other thing here on earth. A beautiful prayer talking about who God is. And in one essence, we get a little bit of a glimpse of this also in our divine service. we get a couple glimpses. First of all, the whole concept of the Eucharist, that of thanksgiving. We come receive Christ himself into this body that he has placed us in because of holy baptism. We now receive this body, flesh and blood, with that bread and wine. Again, another beautiful connecting point. What better way to describe it as the Eucharist, the thanksgiving? But then another interesting part of the liturgy comes at the end. Bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. I know it's an awkward phrase. What are we doing? Are we actually blessing God like he needs our blessing? No, the answer comes to the response, thanks be to God. We're really thanking him. We're thanking God for this beautiful connection. We're thanking God for his healing and his grace. We're thanking God for all he has done for us. Just like Daniel is thanking God. In the second commandment, we might be reminded that we are required to pray. And here, sometimes our mind might try to play some tricks on us and try to say, but God knows all things. And if God knows all things, why do we need to pray? A, God commands it. And B, it's part of this relationship. We're placed into the body of Christ. We're placed into this gathering of believers to encourage one another. And prayer is part of that encouragement. God is the one who puts us into this community of believers, even if we're a small community. Trinity isn't the largest church around. Fair enough. It was smaller during the time of Daniel. Four people gathered around. God answered. Never underestimate the power of who God is. It's not you. It's all about God. God who creates the community draws us together. Don't let the empty pews or the few numbers diminish your faith. God is the one who puts us even in this small community, even in a community that is sometimes filled with sin and burdens. Yes, but he strengthens us. He calls us together so that we can trust in him, we can gather, and we can encourage. Fair enough, we do a lot of talking about the Lord's Supper. We do a lot of talking about baptism. These are indeed grace events. And I don't want to take anything away from it. But I also need to remind us, as a small section of prayer in chapter 2 of Daniel tells us, something special is happening. As people of God gather around, trusting in God's promises, word, sacrament, prayer, special fellowship is happening. And we need that fellowship because we need that encouragement, that healing, as a fellow brother and sister in Christ can bring. All these are beautiful lessons we need to learn from Daniel chapter 2. As we are reminded that, yes, God is all-knowing, and just because he is all-knowing and all-powerful, he's just not going to sit there and say, okay, all your problems are done. But he draws us together into a community because that's the way God created us. He did not create us to live in isolation. He didn't create us so that you could just do it on your own, because then we wouldn't need a Savior. He created us. We need him. We need each other. So as we come to Daniel chapter 2 and realize that, yes, God is all-knowing, let us not fear, but delight in knowing that God has placed us here at this time, at this moment, to feed on his word, to strengthen one another in the faith, just as God reveals himself to Daniel and his companions. And through them, the people of Babylon, the Chaldeans, King Nebuchadnezzar, is blessed. Thanks be to God. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.